And you're listening to KTOO. I'm Jamie Deep, here with local and statewide news. The Coast Guard is responding to a cargo ship that caught fire near Adak yesterday. The crew was rescued with no injuries reported. All 22 crew members aboard the Morning Midas were evacuated onto a Good Samaritan vessel, the Malta-flagged Costco Hellas. A Coast Guard representative says the Morning Midas crew is expected to remain aboard the Costco Hellas as it continues toward its final destination in Panama. A Coast Guard cutter and aircraft crews responded to the distressed ship about 300 miles south of Adak Tuesday afternoon and into Wednesday. Smoke is still coming from the vessel, but it's not clear what the fire's status is. The 600-foot Liberia-flagged Morning Midas was carrying thousands of vehicles to Mexico when the fire broke out. It's operated by London-based shipping company Zodiac Maritime. In a statement, Zodiac representatives say the Morning Midas crew started firefighting procedures immediately, but the situation, quote, could not be brought under control. The company says it will work to salvage the vessel. A tugboat was deployed to support those efforts, as well as firefighting needs. Company representatives say their priorities are to ensure crew safety and protect the marine environment. The Morning Midas is reported to be carrying more than 3,000 vehicles, some of which are hybrid or fully electric. Those vehicles have large batteries that can be dangerous when burned, as battery fires are hard to extinguish and come with risks of explosion and toxic fumes. Petersburg's Borough Assembly on Monday passed its overall budget for the next fiscal year. But as KFSK's Olivia Rose reports, the option to allocate $1 million from the harbor reserves for a potential cruise dock project caused friction for the final vote.
The Petersburg Borough's general fund was nearly $400,000 in the red for the last fiscal year, but that's not the case this time. The borough's next budget is in the black, despite state and federal funding reductions and inflationary costs in all departments. Assemblymember Jay Stanton Greger thanked the borough staff and the finance director for figuring out a balanced budget for the year.
I know that is not easy for every department to pay her back some of the things that may feel important to their departments to get a balanced budget. So I'll definitely be voting yes.
But not everyone was sold on the budget's details. Some contention came with the move to include a $1 million appropriation from the harbor reserves in the borough's new budget. That idea was added to the budget proposal by the assembly in May. The money would go towards a potential dock extension project spearheaded by American Cruise Lines, or ACL. At that May meeting, Harbor Master Gloria Wolin said the money could help the project be designed to benefit the harbor.
Can't afford, of course, the whole thing, hoping it turns into an economic development project. But the $1 million would, I believe, keep us at the table in the design area.
The allocation included in the proposed budget also directs the borough manager to, quote unquote, explore if there's common ground with ACL about the project plans and report back. If the borough and ACL don't come to terms, then the $1 million will just remain unspent in the harbor reserves, and none of the money can be spent without getting written approval from the assembly first. Assemblymember Stanton Greger said the official language gave him confidence.
I like the ACL part in there because it gives the borough manager an opportunity to negotiate with them, and then it'll come back before the assembly to vet it at that time. So I feel comfortable with that piece.
Vice Mayor Donna Marsh suggested the $1 million come from the borough's economic development fund instead of using the harbor reserves, which is money generated by the fishing fleet. Borough Finance Director Jody Tao explained that they had considered using the economic development fund for the cruise ship dock, but there are a couple of hurdles. Federal funding for a different waterfront development project the borough committed to is frozen, and Tao says they don't want to spend down the economic fund until the situation settles. Tao also explained that using more than $200,000 from that fund requires approval from a public vote, which takes time, and time seemed of the essence for the dock. The cruise company wants to complete the project for the 2027 tourism season. Tao noted the infrastructure could generate revenue for the harbor, and more than just the tens of thousands of dollars the borough gets paid in passenger fees from ACL's cruise ships.
When ACL isn't using it, other cruise ships are going to use it, and that'll get them out of the harbor, so the harbor will generate more money being able to dock more boats.
I guess is one theory.
That last voice was Mayor Mark Jensen. He voted no on the budget and has consistently opposed using the harbor funds for the dock project. He says he thinks the money should be used differently or on other things for harbor users.
So that's my rationale, and that's why I'm going to vote no on the overall budget, because I'm sure it'll pass 6-1. So that's just my crystal ball tells me that. So
ultimately, the Assembly passed the budget, voting 5-2 with Vice Mayor Marsh and Mayor Jensen opposed. The budget goes into effect July 1st and lasts through June 30th of next year. In Petersburg, I'm Olivia Rose.
19 dogs were brought to the Dillingham Animal Control Shelter over the weekend following a police investigation into animal cruelty. The group is mostly puppies aged 2 weeks to 5 months old. All were seized from their owner Friday due to signs of malnourishment, according to the Dillingham Police Department. Dillingham Animal Control Officer Jamal Romy responded to the call and transported the dogs to the shelter. He says all of the dogs have since been vaccinated and vaved.
These last couple of days, I've been taking care of the puppies, feeding them and watering them. I've been watching their poop. Their poop had been, when I first got them, it was black and lots of trash in there. But they've been getting really healthy poops now so far. So, and giving them baths, too.
Romy is the shelter's only employee and is caring for all 19 dogs, in addition to the two dogs who are already at the shelter. He says he's working to rehome the animals as quickly as possible, but that space in the shelter is limited and finding local adopters can take time. 12 of the dogs will go to Spring Creek Correctional Center in Seward on Saturday. The center's dog program takes in local shelter animals and prepares them for adoption. Romy says Dillingham's Animal Control Shelter has partnered with the Correctional Center's dog program before.
And they train the dogs, they give them vaccines, they give them spay and neuters and all the other stuff, and they let the inmates correct them, give them teaching. When they're done with that, they also send them out and get them adopted elsewhere.
Romy says the remaining dogs will either be rehomed in Dillingham or he'll find another animal shelter in the state to send them to. As of yesterday, one puppy had been adopted locally. And the first half of the Bering Sea pollock season wrapped up about a month ago, and local officials say it was a good start to the fishery. That's a breath of fresh air amid many uncertainties within the seafood industry. An Alaska's fisheries advisor, Frank Kelty, says the A season, that runs from mid-January to the end of April, was excellent this year.
Fishing was strong. They had between 700 and 800 gram fish, which makes not the real large pollock fillets, but it makes it's good fillet quality fish. And the fillet market seems to be very strong.
While Kelty is feeling optimistic about the upcoming B season for pollock, he says he's still keeping an eye on instability in federal fisheries management.
I think it was people that were working in other sectors or on the West Coast. United States. But that's concerning when you see, 35 of your long-term scientists either take early retirement or decide to retire.
Those roughly 30 scientists Kelty is referring to worked for the Northwest Fisheries Science Center in Seattle. That's part of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They told the Seattle Times they left their jobs in the wake of the Trump administration's budget cuts, calling the subsequent working conditions untenable. But despite new challenges shoreside, there's still plenty of pollock left to catch in this year's harvest. Fisheries management upped that number by 6% from last year. Kelty expects pollock to continue driving the local economy in Unalaska as it has for years.
I think the last B season, the last 2 years have been very, very steady, good fishing. And I would assume since A season performed so well that we would have a good B season harvest as well.
Pollock B season kicks off June 10th, with most of the annual pollock harvest still left to catch. And the City of Hoonah and Hoonah Heritage Foundation unveiled a brand new 21-foot totem pole during a ceremony at the Hoonah Harbor last week. The totem pole, called a kutia in Tlingit, was designed and raised to honor the community's rich fishing history and traditions. KTOO's Clarice Larson was there and has this story.
It's called the Fisherman's Honor Totem Pole. Carved into the yellow cedar log are depictions of different fishing methods that locals use.
You have the gill netter, and then you have the rod and reeler.
Artist Gordon Greenwald describes the design of the brand new totem pole that now stands at Hoonah's Harbor. He speaks through a microphone to a crowd of more than 100 people who gathered for the ceremony.
So this is what you're looking at. The Hoonah fishing people. All of us in the past, all of us in the future, and all of us now.
Many Hoonah residents attended the event, and a catamaran brought dozens of people from Juneau for the ceremony. Fishing is deeply intertwined with the economy and identity of Hoonah. During the 1950s and 60s, Hoonah became known as the home of the million-dollar fleet. That's because of the local fishermen's highly lucrative skills and success on the water. Hoonah's vice mayor, Amelia Wilson, thanked the crowd for celebrating the cotilla and the meaning behind it.
And to see so many of our fishermen and fisherwomen here really just makes me so proud to be honoring all of you and that legacy that we have of thousands and thousands of years of amazing fishermen.
David Shakely, a speaker at the event, says the poll honors the fishermen who are alive today and recognizes those who have passed away. He references the rain, which patters down on the tents above the crowd. Many people present were active or retired fishermen.
This cotilla is here to help turn those tears of sorrow into tears of joy, to continue on the fishing that is so important within the community, to continue that on into the future.
The ceremony included traditional songs and dance as the tarp was pulled away from the pole to unveil it to the community. In Hoonah, I'm Clarice Larson.
And in Juneau, it's currently 53 degrees with light rain. And taking a look at the forecast going into the rest of the week, we've got rain and rain showers. This is KTOO.
Comes from this station. And from Progressive Insurance, home of the Name Your Price tool.